Some of you have taken in the recent movie production of the Kendrick Brothers titled War Room. They are acclaimed movie makers now and people of faith. Began as a ministry of a small congregation that grew into somewhat of a mega church in the South Georgia ministry community. One of the movies that impacted many people of faith and in pursuit of healing and restoration of their marriage was one that focused on the life of a firefighter and his wife. The title of the movie was Fireproof. Their marriage had come on rough times, a rocky road, where in many ways, even though the title was fireproof, the fire had all but gone out in their marriage. The spark. There was no passion. I guess in some ways they would say there was no love. The wife, seeing the constant lack of faithfulness and energy that her husband was unwilling to pour into the marriage, had all but given up hope that their life together could be restored. And so had the husband, who had drifted away in many ways from his faith, from the roots of what he'd been brought up in the church, the backbone of his journey for relationships, not only in his marriage, but in other aspects of his life. And as a climactical point of the movie, he goes and visits with his father. And he asks his dad if there's any hope. And his father reminds him that the core essential ingredients that he needed in his marriage and in his life was love. The son complained and said, "Dad, that's just the problem. We don't have the love in us anymore. The fire's gone out. The passion's not there." And the father listened very patiently and then paused long enough and said, "Son, I'm not talking about love, the feeling. I'm talking about love, the action." Sometimes, before we can experience emotional love, we have to practice love. We have to do love. We have to be love. So true in marriages. And certainly in life, it's much more than just simply a husband and wife, a husband on the way out the door yelling with a cup of coffee in his hand, "I love you." It's more than simply saying, it's doing. Being love to our world. That's the high call of our faith as Christian people. In this passage of Scripture that we hear today, where the gospel writer Mark speaks of this first and second commandment, the essential teachings of our faith, he says nothing is more important than this. And to love God and to love the neighbor as oneself. You know, I shared in, and Lynn spoke of just a few minutes ago, the thank offering, the ministry of our Presbyterian women for our church. And you know, this organization in our worship community is tireless in their efforts. They're mission-minded. What do I mean when I say mission-minded? It means they don't just talk about love. They do love. They're the hands and feet of the gospel. They're the ones who cook the meal, who carry the coats, who care for the sick, who prepare ministry beyond what simple words can say, but express love to our community. This thank offering, it's a challenge that they said to give you one extra dollar. And they've been working with tireless energy on the Operation Christmas Child. Some of them have been shopping all year, gathering little toys that are going to go in a little box that'll be ministry to kids in third world countries. They passed down a challenge. Or let me say it this way. One of the men of our church passed down a challenge this morning in our men's fellowship. He said it very gracefully, Hollis Wigington did. He didn't say, shame on you, you're not going to believe what all these women have done on this Operation Christmas Child. No, he just told us what they had done. And he asked if we would consider joining them in that ministry. You know what the response was? $420 in offerings this morning, enough to send postage for 60 of those boxes. Wow. What a response. Now, why do you think they responded that way? Because they didn't want to get in trouble with their wife, I guess. No, I think there was something deeper there. I think that they saw love. They saw the women's ministry of our church practicing, being the mission, doing the faith, and they were inspired to do it as well. See, that's what happens when we experience love, when we witness it in our midst. Not only is our heart filled with warmth and more joy when we give of ourselves and live outside of ourselves, but we also inspire those around us to spread the gospel and share as well. In other words, it's contagious, friends. The gospel and ministry of our faith. When we love in the name of the Lord, we encourage others to love and to join us in changing the world forever for good. That's the heart of the call that Jesus offers this morning. The explanation of the greatest commandment when he says, love one another as yourself. But you know, I think we have to, as we receive that second commandment, we can't remember that the first commandment is always before the second. The first commandment, where Jesus proclaims the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then he goes into this great description of how to love God. Wow. Let those words soak in with me this morning as Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. See, Jesus reminds us, before we can love the world, and even before we're called to love the world, we first begin with loving God. It raises another question for me, and perhaps you. What does it mean to love God, or to break it down even further, how, church? How do we love God? You see, we understand so often how to love the world, how to love family members, right? We buy them nice gifts. We do charitable events. We reach out and care for people with that golden rule of how we want to be cared for, right? That's the way we serve the world. To love those around us. But then, how do we, as children of faith, love the Lord? For me, it becomes so much clearer when I look back upon another passage of Scripture. An account that's recorded in the 10th chapter, not of Mark, but of the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus journeys into the home of a couple of friends. A lady named Martha, who owns the home, is entertaining. She's throwing a great banquet. Jesus is coming. They've been working their fingers to the bone. At least Martha has, right? She's been cooking. She's been cleaning. She has it decorated. And then her sister Mary, what is she doing? She does nothing but sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to what he says. Some of us know the story all too well, right? Martha gets in a tizzy Martha even gets up enough courage. Can you imagine how hard it was for her to gain that courage? Jesus, you need to set Mary straight. She's not doing anything. Look how much I'm loving these people. How much I'm serving these people. And Jesus says, but Martha, Mary has chosen the one thing, the most important thing. Mary has chosen, friends, the first thing of our faith. And what is it? To love the Lord. See, that's the beginning. You understand with me as we listen to this scripture that the beginning of our life of faith and service to the world begins first in our love to our Lord, in the spirit of Mary to bow down. You see, I think more than anything else, that's what Mary was doing that day. How was she loving the Lord? She was worshiping the Lord. See, there's a difference. We're called to love God and love our neighbor, but the love we give to our God is somewhat different from the love we give to our world. The love our God deserves, the love our God is worthy of, is the love when we bow ourselves, symbolically grasp his feet in the spirit of Mary and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace in our lives and in your church. Worship is where it begins, friends. It's the way we express our love for our Lord. And it empowers us. Yes, it inspires us to then go forth and love the world around us. You know, Leon and I visited a few moments before worship today over in the Gregg Center for men's breakfast. I can't tell you all the stuff we talk about over there, and I can't quote everything Leon says when he's not in the sanctuary. But I will tell you this thing that Leon said to me today. He said, you know, I'm so glad to be back at church. So glad to be back in worship. He loves his church family. And he understands that as a businessman, as a husband, as we as teammates on ball teams and co-workers and teachers at school, we need worship. It restores us. In our efforts to love God in this holy house, friends, we find His love all the more. See, that's why Leon was yearning to get back here. That's why we were hungering to gather in this holy house this morning, because our life of faith and our journey to love the world begins first in loving God. So friends, I encourage you this week. And you know, I received this challenge myself for my session recently. I encourage you with the same challenge they gave to one another recently. They said, why don't we make it a goal to each one of us invite someone to worship every week? Invite another person. Another family. What if we all did that? But not just all of us gathered in this sanctuary, of all of us who will be listening to this sermon on audio this week, but what if all of us who practice our faith will invite someone else to worship that next week? Friends, not so much to expand the numbers of our roles to make our congregations stronger, but most of all, to expand God's love, not in here, but out there, so that the world may know and may experience more fully His life-giving love. Amen. Let's respond now in faith as